And in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that the Lord chastens those he loves. And he said, you're robbing your church of blessings because they're not becoming aware to what's available to them. And I said, never again. Never again. And so we're going to say a confession just over our life. We're also going to say a confession over our resources. And today, you all will notice that we had the first confession for or over the offering. Did you all notice that? Yep. I was talking with our executive director. We got an anonymous donation in just in the time since I've talked to you all, and I want to tell Alex and Trey, your scholarship is now $1,500. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. So what we do is not just to do things. There is so much available to you if you just believe and align your words and your life to the plan of God that is already in motion concerning your life. And so listen, from here on out, we are going to follow God with everything that we have. Amen. All right. So we are starting the You Asked For It series. So this summer, I said, hey, instead of me telling you all what I want you to hear based on what the Lord told me, I said, let me open it up and allow you all to choose what you want to hear this summer. And so we're starting today, and we're going to go for the next couple of months based off of topics you all said, I want to hear. Topics such as purpose, passion. You all wanted to know about social justice. You wanted to know about is heaven and hell real? You want to know about how do I handle stress and anxiety? Just to name a few, and we are going to spend our time together answering those things in the name of Jesus. Go with me to two opening text scriptures. We're going to start with purpose today. And as we start with purpose today, I'm going to open the conversation on purpose this Sunday and complete the conversation talking about how to utilize your passion to fulfill your purpose on next week. So it's going to take me 2 weeks to do this. But go to 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, and Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, and Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. It says in the New King James is where I'll be reading the first John chapter 3 from. It says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, referring to Jesus, is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And this is what I want us to key on. For this purpose, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so I'm going to title this first conversation on purpose in honor of Black Music Month, Reasons. The reason that we're here. I'm going to talk about the reason why you and I are here on this earth. You are not on this earth by accident. You could have been born at any other time in human history, yet God saw fit to place you within this span of time, and it's for a purpose and it's for a reason. And I chose this text because I want every time we talk about purpose or every time we begin to pattern our life. We pattern our life based off of Jesus Christ and no one else. We pattern our life by the Son of God who came down to the earth to take on human flesh, to experience the tests, the trials, the temptations that we all experience, yet he did not fail. And so if someone gave us a blueprint of how to live successfully, then I say, let's follow that blueprint and allow God to be God in our life. Go over to our other text scripture in Luke chapter 4, where we're going to spend a lot of time in Luke chapter 4 really looking at purpose. Because when you are walking in your purpose fully, you're in a place of true contentment and alignment. You are walking in a level of fulfillment that is unmatched by any other thing on this earth. When you are walking in your purpose, you are walking in the reason, not only why you're alive, but a reason that you're also willing to let live or let outlive you for your entire life. Purpose is bigger than you. Someone say and type in, purpose is bigger than me. Your purpose is bigger than you. If your purpose can be thought of, and if you can think about what you're called to do and why you're called to do it, and you're able to conceptualize it and have steps on how to do this and do that, you're thinking too small. Your purpose is always greater than you. And so Luke chapter 4, and we'll pick up in verse 14. We'll go back to the top part of this chapter a little later. And in Luke 4 and 14, it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Key. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, so he went back home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. In verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So Jesus now is communicating his mission statement. He's saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why is he upon him? For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. So Jesus had a purpose, which was to destroy the works of the devil. But not only did he have a purpose, but he knew what his purpose was. Sometimes we hear that there is a plan, God has a plan for your life. You have a reason for being here. But if we're honest, sometimes it's unclear. And what we see in scripture is that Jesus found himself in the text to see, hey, this is what I can live for. This is what I'm willing to die for. This is what I'm willing to give my life for. And what purpose allows us to do is to fight against the temptation to be materialistic, the temptation to be selfish, to realize that the things that you go through, the experiences that you have, some of the most trying times of your life, you would not have wished them on yourself. Can I get a show of hands if anybody would say, some of them tests and some of them trials that I have gone through, I would not have signed myself up for that. But you have to understand that you go through to help others get through what they're going through. You go through so that when you speak to someone, they can see that this person is real. This person understands where I'm coming from. I'm not alone. Have you ever felt like what you're facing, you are the only person in the world to be facing what you're facing? And then when you hear someone else who faces something similar, you take a deep breath and say, wow, I'm not by myself. Satan's biggest tactic is to get you isolated. And it starts with a lie that you are isolated. Come on. Anybody ever thought that they were alone all by themselves? And have you noticed the more you deal with that thought, it just continues to press down on you? The word depress means to press down. So that lie of isolation is the root of depression. It's not the truth of isolation, it's the lie of isolation. Because God said in Hebrews 13 and 5, I will never leave. I will never forsake. But don't you feel sometimes that God left? Don't you feel sometimes that you've been forsaken? Don't you feel sometimes that God don't love you? You know, parenting is just showing me so much about the character of God, because our love as parents is a fraction of God's love toward us. But let me tell you what I noticed about in my couple weeks of being a parent. Give you all some. I graduated from my WebMD parenting class, and now I'm going to give you guys a couple of weeks on the job here. But there are some times I let my son cry. Not because I don't love him, hear me. Not because I don't love him. Not because I haven't provided everything for him. But I need him to know what he has to soothe himself is already right there with him. And some of us get so dejected when it feels like God is letting you cry and have your pity party. God, don't you hear me? God, don't you understand me? But he's trying to let you know in the midst of your tears, you have what you need to get through that pity party. And they tell you, don't raise a lap baby. God ain't raising no lap babies. So when you're going through what you're going through, there's a greater purpose to what you are going through. I want to open up with some questions for you all to ponder. You don't have to respond, but I want this to be our goal. Number one, I want you to be able to answer this question of what is my life's mission? What is my life's mission? If you're having trouble finding what your life's mission is, think about in the last 5 to 10 years, are there recurring themes that happen over and over and over again? Begin to prod those themes over and over and over again. The second question, if you could do something for the rest of your life without compensation, what would it be? I noticed people who are in purpose don't sweat about payment. Ooh, I said something right here. People who are in their purpose don't sweat about payment. They're not always asking, so how much is the job going to be? Now, I'll balance this out and talk about money because you're going to need money to live. But when it comes to your purpose, your first thought isn't, am I only going to make money in this? In fact, when you fully lock into your purpose, you're willing to bet all that you have on what you know you were created to do. The biggest investor in your vision needs to be you. The biggest believer in what God has called you to do needs to be you. Don't let anybody, mom, dad, sister, brother, best friend, out-cheer you concerning your calling. And don't you be your biggest adversary, because you live with you. Listen, when you got haters who are at a distance, who are on social media, or who don't live in your house, you hear what they got to say and you keep it moving. But don't you be a hater on your own purpose. Catch yourself when you start having negative self-talk. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. Maybe this isn't for me. Maybe it wasn't the right opportunity. So if you could do something the rest of your life without compensation, what would it be? And are you there? If you're there, are you thriving there? So it's one thing to be in your purpose, but are you thriving in your purpose? So these are things, because I'm talking to a myriad of seasons in this room and online. There are people who feel like I am fully thriving in my purpose. Then there's the other segment who say, what is purpose? But I want to take you all to the water and allow God to begin to speak to you so that you can optimize every season that you're in. And the final question I want to ask you is, what is my reason to live beyond death? What legacy do I want to leave here on this earth? And so when it comes to purpose, I want you all to keep this in mind. This is one of our main thoughts today. I want you to think mission, not method. Somebody say and type in, think mission, not method. Think mission, not method, meaning purpose is proactive. It's not reactive. The change of economy, the change of jobs, the change of employment, the change of relationship status does not change your purpose. It will, however, change your method. Now, anyone in here not own an air fryer, but you want an air fryer? Anybody in here not own an air fryer? But you want an air fryer, by a show of hands. We got, oh, wow.
They are raising their son up well. They're like, no, this is our air fryer. This is not your air fryer. All right. So I've got the one, two. Okay. Online, if you don't own an air fryer and you want an air fryer, just pay attention really quick, because I'm going to give away an air fryer today in person and online. I really am. Like, you need to have an air fryer. Look at this. Pride come before the fall. Like, oh, well, shoot, you know, I got an oven, but I ain't got. Yeah, y'all going to want to participate this summer. I told y'all. I'm feeling real generous. So we're going to give away an air fryer. If you're here in person, you'll get your air fryer today. If you're watching online, we'll get your information, and we'll send you an air fryer to your house. So, I mean, listen, people watch church, all different types. We are one whole family. You know what I'm saying? So this is what I want you to do, because I have a number, and this is like Price is Right, where, and this is online too. There's a different number for online, so you can't say, you watch it later and say, I know the number. No, you got a different number online, but in person we have a different number. You have to be the closest to the number without going over. And that number online is between 1 and 50. And so if you believe that you know the number online and you're watching, text us the number at 770-667-489. And you can't, now I can't check and see if you do have an air fryer. But if you don't have an air fryer, this I'm not talking to you. If you don't have an air fryer and you want to take a shot at it, go for it. In here, if you all know the number, it's a number between 1 and 50. There were like, you're going to be racking up, Trey. Like, huh? Text you the number. I can text you the number. All right, what do you say the number is, Sly? All right. All right. Nope, none of them got it. Do it again. Nope. Nope. All right. 39. Listen, I'm not asking you to guess the price of the air fryer. I need a number, a singular number. So again, if you're watching online, text 770-667-4899. What you think the number is between 1 and 50. Go in here. Y'all don't want no air fryer. Lord have mercy. All right, last round, and then there's going to be two air fryers for online, it looked like. I could tell y'all's parents never kept y'all out of school, because y'all don't know how Price is Right work. All right. Huh? What is it? All right, that's it. So, Jalinda, you win, because the number is 9, which is the number of values that we have. What'd you say? 2. Her number was 2. Your number was 1. Yep. Uh-huh. So at the end of service, check with Markeisha and win your prize. The reason why I wanted to give an air fryer out is because an air fryer is an amazing machine. It's not much you can't cook in the air fryer. I have been able to cook. I'm not going to tell you what I'm cooking. I see both my fitness people here. I cook salads and vegetables. And asparagus. Baked salmon. I mean, I've been able to cook, you name it. One machine, different methods. Sometimes we question why God has us in different seasons and different moments, but all of it is related to your purpose, the same mission, but God wants to make you more well-rounded with a different method. When I came out of Bible school, my course of study was general pastoral studies, which meant under 12, don't ask me about them. I don't know. I'm not doing anything under the age of 12. I don't do children. I didn't, not at all.
The first job I received upon graduation from Bible school was what? Children's pastor. No, not even you. They wouldn't even let me do the teenagers. I was like, let me do the teenagers at least. No, the kiddies, the babies. And I could not stand it because I thought my purpose was to do ministry. My vision of what that looked like, the method was similar to this, or it was you. I didn't see the stage, the pulpit, for at least a year and a half after I graduated, 3 years after I started working full time. And I didn't get my first youth ministry position until 5 years of full time ministry. All the while in my mind, I'm like, God, why do you have me in children's ministry? It was not in my 5-year plan. But in doing children's ministry, and I look back over all the jobs that I've had with full time, the most rewarding job, children's ministry. Because if you can teach a child to learn the Bible, you can also teach their parents to learn the Bible. It was the most rewarding job that I ever had, and it gave me a heart for our children's in nursery and our middle and our high school students that are serving our young people today. Typically, children are an afterthought in a church. At the outlet, children are my only thought at this church because of the experiences. And so don't discredit what you count as obscure seasons. Somebody say, think mission, not method. Go to Luke chapter 2. Let me show this to you in the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 2. In verse 42. So we're going to look at Jesus, who we saw in the very beginning of today's message. His purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. So typically we think when we hear a word from the Lord or when God speaks to us that it's immediate. When we were opening the outlet community, I had visions of what this church would look like. And when I came out the first day, the first year, the first 2 years, the first 3 years, it looked nothing like the vision that I had before I opened the church. The prayer that I had for this church didn't come into fruition until almost 4 years after we started this church and been at it every single day. Sometimes we give up before we see the full manifestation of the promise that God has for you. Sometimes we get so discouraged because we're calendar counting, thinking about how long it's taking for your prayer to be answered. But all the while, God is preparing you. God is proving you. Oh man, while we today are graduating our first class of the Outlet Leadership Institute, it is a very, very momentous occasion for our church. But one of the biggest mistakes I made as a young pastor is I gave people titles too fast. Oh, Lord, I think I'm going to end here. Gave people titles too fast because they were good people. But the character couldn't facilitate the weight of promotion. And so the bumps that I've had in my mistakes as a leader has always now taught me to lead by giving people time, give people opportunity, give people space. And a person, you'll know them by their what? Fruit, not their seed. Sometimes we lack patience to see the fruit because we're happy about their bag of seed. And so what purpose is about producing fruit after its own kind. What fruit? You're producing fruit. The question is, what fruit are you producing? And so some of the hardest seasons of your life are some of the best seasons of your life. I can think back to a very, very tough season in my wife and I's life. And at the beginning of that season, I was mad at other people. But as I matured through that season, I realized the person that I need to be mad with was myself, because I put expectations on others that were only reserved for God. And it's only in your wilderness that you discover that your expectations may be out of alignment. So Jesus in Luke 2:42, I'll paraphrase this whole passage of scripture. Jesus was 12 years old at the time of Luke 2:42, and they went to, there was a festival that was going on, and his parents had left and didn't realize they left Jesus back in the synagogue and in the temple. And when they came back, they said, "Where were you?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "Don't you know that I'm supposed to be about my Father's business at age 12? But we then fast forward to Luke chapter 3, and 18 years pass until we hear of Jesus again. Luke 3:23. 18 years. So now Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry. Jesus always knew what his purpose was, but the manifestation of it took time. And unfortunately, in our society, we're trying to find the next seminar, the next book, the next mixer in order to help accelerate our process, but you can't circumvent your process. Anytime you circumvent your process, where you left off will find you. And what I recommend is allowing your process to find you while you're hidden. Because the biggest black eye to the body of Christ these days are people in process but decided to step in the public light before they were ready. Don't despise the moments where you feel like you're hidden. God is working on that heart. And your purpose is the container to your passion. Often people have a lot of passion, a lot of fire, a lot of desire, but don't know what they're doing with it, and so they burn out. And so purpose helps you to clarify, what am I supposed to do? So in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, it said Jesus, his purpose was to do what? Oh, Lord, already? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, our very first scripture we went to today, it said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to... There we go. Thank you. Yes, defeat the devil. Yes, destroy the works of the devil. Excellent. So everything Jesus did had to align to his purpose. Everything we do has to align to our purpose. And we see in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the same writer of Luke then goes on to document this about Jesus after he has ascended to the Father. It says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we see this process of Jesus showing up at age 12, then age 30, and then looking back at his life after he spent 33 years on this earth, he accomplished his purpose. So when it comes to discovering your purpose in life, the seasons change, but your reasons don't. When it comes to discovering your purpose in life, seasons may change. Your job may change, but the reason for why you do those jobs, they don't change. And I want to give you some purpose prerequisites here. In Revelation 4:11, it says that all things were created by God and all things were created for God. You have a unique bend. You have a unique shape. So when it comes to this chair, for instance, that we have here, what is the purpose of this chair? Yeah, real simple, y'all. For people to sit on it. Question, could you stand on it? Are you supposed to stand on it? No. And if we chose to stand on these chairs instead of sit on these chairs, eventually we'll abuse these chairs. You were created for worship to God. And anytime your life is apart from Him, you're abusing the very purpose as to why you exist. Now, there's a lot that you can do. It's a lot you can do. But if you want to have longevity, then you need to find, what am I supposed to do? Everything has a purpose. Everything has a place. Your relationships have a purpose. Your relationships have a place. Your marriage, listen, it has a purpose. It has a place. And whenever, and Miles Monroe said this, whenever we don't know the purpose of something, abuse is inevitable. But let me give you some prerequisites when it comes to purpose. When you are walking in purpose, number one, you need faith. Number two, you need funding. Let's talk about this. If at 40, you have been an aspiring rap artist since 18, and you have not had your big break yet, you can continue to cut records after you go to work. You need funding. You need faith for your purpose. You need funding. So what will help you to understand how much am I to give toward this is how much is it allowing you to function and live without saying, hey, can I hold? Or have y'all know people when they call you and they leading with something? You know, it's been hard. It's been tough. And, your purpose, there will be funding. And sometimes you have to fund your purpose with your gift before you can go into it full time. The job that you don't like, yeah, that's allowing you to eat. And you're building yourself to be able to fully fund in your purpose. But sometimes we have to work at places we don't want to work at. Sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. So you need faith. You need funding. And then the last thing when it comes to your purpose, you need freedom. Never surrender your calling to another person. Oh, this is rich. Lord, what time is this? Oh, I got so much. Never surrender your calling to another person, including a potential spouse. Ooh-wee. Ooh. Lord have mercy. Why am I opening this bag right now? I don't want to open this bag, but we're going to open this bag. All right. If you deny your unique wiring to adjust your wiring to be with someone else, you're setting yourself up for extreme disappointment and suppression. There are times, here we go, mission, not method. There are times in a marriage where the method will adjust, but the overall mission has to be the same. And so in dating, this is where the questions come in before you decide to sign on the dotted line. And this will allow you to make decisions quick. I told y'all that I had a girlfriend before Ashley. Relationship lasted 6 days. All because I filtered our relationship through the lens of purpose. I knew I was called to ministry. That young lady had an excellent, good government job. Good government. I mean, good government benefit job. Had that. But I knew I was called to ministry, and I knew that that meant at some point we'd have to relocate to another state. And she loved her good government. She worked her way up the pay scale and the grades. And she was unwilling to leave her job for the ministry. So purpose makes decisions for you. Even if it hadn't come up, I could have said, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But now I'm all in, and I've said to death do us part, and I took my vow serious. And so it's 6 days, because I knew there would be a potential while I lived in Mississippi. Where am I at right now? Georgia. Guess where that young lady still is 16 years later? Mississippi. Purpose is proactive, not reactive. So I knew I was called to ministry. I didn't know what that looked like. She felt she was called to her state accounting job, which she does a really good job for the state. But that meant our purpose was incompatible. And sometimes good people stay together, but their purposes never align. If you're talking about, man, I don't know, man, I'm sitting in this bag right here, y'all. Ooh-wee. I ain't talked about relationships in so long. It feel good. These are hard conversations that you have to have, because at that time, y'all, when I found that particular relationship, I hadn't had a date years. But purpose holds you to promise. And when you compromise purpose, you settle. And if you compromise your purpose, you disappoint you. So I had to be willing to walk away from a relationship that I thought I prayed in, because she was a good girl. But 6 days later, had to give her the famous, "It's not you." "It's me. What's wrong?" "Nothing." That was in relationships. Not too long ago, had to have that same conversation on a building for this church. Purpose. It looked great. It would have solved a whole lot of things. Would have put some resources back in our pocket. Would have gave us a nice stationary home. But it didn't answer the purpose question. So I had to pick up the phone and say, "It's not you, it's me." And as I'm talking, it's comforting my heart, because sometimes walking away is one of the toughest things that you can do, because you can't see beyond the other side. But just like when I walked away in 2006 from that good functioning relationship, to go back and choosing to be single on purpose, to run into at Chick-fil-A Mrs. Ashley Davis. And had I locked up the first one, I wouldn't have been available for the right one. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I ain't nowhere near the end of my notes. We're done, y'all. I'm gonna unplug. My God. When you know your purpose, you let go of what's convenient and you embrace what you're called to. I've never understood my purpose on the front side, but as I went, it made more sense than had I tried to hold things in my own hand. You were created for something greater than you. But I think that the Lord is asking you to let go of some control. When you walk in purpose, you develop experience. When you develop an experience, you build confidence. And the more confidence you build, the less you seek to control your outcome. It's as you go. It might not make sense, but as you go, let's stand today.